I want to get going.
John, were you going to sit?
Wherever, how many are we? We just don't want to observe my... We're it, right?
Whoa.
Who's books?
This is the chairman's seat. That's the timekeeper.
We have a watch amongst us? I don't. Okay.
Watch the rituals.
This is right.
Today. But we have this.
We're keeping it on.
I kept notes.
Okay, good.
Tom's keeping notes, and most of them had written comments.
Good.
But you don't have any written comments attached. Interesting. Oh. Could be. Yeah, I don't even see the Star Ledger here. Is it going to be here? Would he? He's such a good fellow.
Okay.
Do you like Larry Raggedy?
Do I know him?
Do you like him?
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
Good writer.
Interested in stuff.
Yes.
Delves into things.
Also, a guy who can keep a conference.
I used to really like talking to him when he would call. But he wasn't just looking for that sound light.
And he doesn't.
Get away
from all the
clever.
Yeah.
Well, look who's here.
Right.
Hi there, Ray. Happy New Year to you.
Nice to see you. How are you?
Right.
Did you sign up? Are you going to speak?
I'm not going to speak.
Oh.
But I'm here to hear. As you are here to hear. So maybe I'll
Walter was here earlier.
Did he say anything?
No, neither did Mr. Pinto.
And I can't follow suit.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
So how you been?
Is it warm?
Well, thank you. Was somebody kidding me when they said that you might be
hired? About, I went up to the lawn.
No,
we did. We skied 3 days. We had to go further than we
financial burden.
Our house. We had to go up by Killington, where they make it all the time.
Thank you.
I didn't want to do it.
It's actually better than I expected. We had friends from the Philly area.
What else?
I was happy that we could show them to us.
From mayorship.
We skied 3 days. Pretty good for the weekend.
I know, but...
11 years is a long time to do that.
Huh? Yeah. I do miss you.
Well, thank you. Which part is that I miss?
Good. Not the complaining and not
so your daughter was a little over with you?
The nest.
Available.
It really is. This is just a lot of fun getting all set up.
You need me to read the verse?
No, I'll be okay.
Okay.
For this?
Letters.
I get something. Email. Everybody can get to us through the Highlands. Because we all have the same Highlands address.
Yeah, I could.
Format's all the same. So what have you been doing with the county lately?
Can
I start?
Yes, you may.
I'll head back to the audience.
Okay.
Yeah, I said we start. You're on. Matt needs to start.
Good evening.
Cold?
This is a good PA system.
Cold? Of course. I knew that.
Good evening. I'd like to get started, though. I'd like to start on time. Unfortunately, I'm not doing that at 6 o'clock, but you're all here. I expect that once we get going, other people will be filtering in. So perhaps the sooner we begin, the easier it will be for all those who want to speak on this plan to do so. My name is Jack Schreier. I'm the Vice Chairman of the Highlands Council. To my left is Scott Whitenack, a member of the Highlands Council. To Scott's left, John Weingart, chairman of the Highlands Council. To my right is the Honorable Mimi Less, former mayor of Parsippany and a member of the New Jersey Highlands Council. Welcome to these public hearings on the Highlands Draft Regional Master Plan. This public hearing has been noticed on the Council's website and printed on the Council's newspapers of record. As we begin, kindly join me in the salute to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. This evening I'll be serving as a hearing officer for this public hearing. Joining us now is Tracy Carluccio, also a member of the Highlands Council. We have nominally 15 members of the Highlands Council. We are short one at this time, and we expect that appointment to be made pretty soon. In this evening's hearing, we'll hear comments from you, interested members of the public, on the draft regional master plan, which was released by the Council for public comment on November 30th, 2006. Excuse me. This serves as one of the five public hearings called for in the Highlands Act that must occur within the Highlands region. A sixth hearing will be held in Trenton, and at least two additional hearings are in the process of being scheduled. The comment period is set to run through March 2nd. As you may know, it has been extended by 30 days from the original date because of the intervention of the holidays. The draft plan has been widely and broadly distributed to all 88 Highlands municipalities, all seven Highlands counties, numerous public libraries, and is also available at the Highland Council's office and on the Council website. I'll give you that web address shortly. The Council's website has extensive technical information containing detailed information supporting the draft plan. The Council would like to thank each of you and all of those who spoke at the Highlands Council meetings over the last 2 years for all your time and your thoughtful input, which will assist us in developing and refining the final plan. It's important to stress that this is a draft plan. The Council intends to make changes to this draft. Let me say that again. The Council intends to make changes to this plan based on public comment. So your comments are not only important, but they're valuable. The Council firmly believes that this process will only serve to strengthen and improve the plan. So this evening, as I said, we'll hear from you if you'd like to speak, and you have not yet filled out one of these blue forms at the registration table. I encourage you to do so. If you have a copy of your remarks, leave them, please, with the Highlands Council staff who are at the back of the room so we can have them for the record. I ask that you please keep your comments succinct and brief, approximately 3 minutes, so that we have an opportunity to hear from everyone. This is indeed a listening session. There will be future council meetings available to the public for consideration of changes to the draft plan. Those are council meetings. If you have questions, please see the Highlands Council staff at the registration desk. To submit your written comments to the website, go to www.highlands.state.nj.us. Would you like me to repeat that, anyone? Otherwise, it's available again at the back of the room. Just click on comment on the draft plan. You'll see that link. Keep in mind that no additional weight is given to a person who submits the same comment many times or via different methods. Let me just give you, I presume you all know what the Highlands Act is. Anyone who doesn't know what the Highlands Act is or what it's about, because I've got a long thing here that I want to go into to give you the background, but it's unnecessary. But I will say, just for a refresher, that the Highlands Act created the Highlands Council as a regional planning entity charged with protecting the water resources and natural beauty of the New Jersey Highlands while allowing for planned, sustainable development and redevelopment. The Act requires the Council to create a master plan for the Highlands region, the entire Highlands region, not just the preservation area, but the preservation and planning area, which comprises the entire Highlands region. This draft regional master plan now that we're talking about is a comprehensive, science-based plan designed to safeguard New Jersey's most significant source of drinking water. I stress science-based because over the last 2 years, as the council has met, and the chairman will attest, there have been much criticism, that this plan was not science-based, that it was based on some other apocryphal stories and some random negotiations and so on and so forth. This is a Highlands draft regional master plan that is based on science, using the latest science and data. And we have said in the meetings, this is the most up-to-date information on the Highlands region that has ever been compiled. This plan proposes policies and strategies designed to best protect the Highlands resources while also promoting a sustainable economy and sustainable agricultural practices. All those are important. The draft plan is built on land use standards and a land use capability map. The LUCM is based on an analysis of natural resources, existing development, infrastructure, analysis, and agricultural activities. The map establishes three zones that overlay municipal zoning, each with its own criteria and standards. The protection zone is the green zone, and there's a map back there at the back of the room, two maps, in fact, you could take a look at. You see the big green area, that is the protection zone, containing the most important natural resource lands that are critical to maintaining water quality, quantity, and other significant ecological processes. We're welcoming Kurt Alstead, farmer from Chester Township, and a member of the Highlands Council.
Good evening, Kurt.
Good evening.
The purpose of the protection zone is to protect natural resources, especially water. Generally, standards in the zone prohibit the disturbance of natural resources or expansion of infrastructure. Public land acquisition is a priority in the preservation zone. The conservation zone is the brown area, captures regionally significant agricultural lands. The purpose of that is to promote agriculture within the framework of the Highlands environment. Generally, development potential is limited in size and intensity due to infrastructure constraints and natural resource protection goals, although opportunities exist for low-impact clustered development. Standards protect agricultural soils and large farms and contiguous operations. The purple zone is the planned community zone. We established that for the purpose of working with municipalities and counties to determine appropriateness of further development given the presence or the absence of water and sewer and the desire of the town to grow. These areas are less environmentally constrained and with proper planning may support development in a manner and intensity desired by the municipality. Emphasis will be on increasing land use efficiency, encouraging the use of previously developed lands through techniques such as revitalization, adaptive reuse, infill, and property assemblage. In addition to zone standards, site-specific standards may apply, such as stream buffers and steep slope protections. Here are some things about the draft plan to bear in mind. The draft plan is designed to protect against water shortages, dry wells, and costly water treatment systems. The draft plan does not mandate growth and will serve to control sprawl. It promotes sustainable communities and agricultural viability. The draft plan advances the establishment of a Transfer of Development Rights Program, TDR, and calls for increased land preservation funding for the region. The draft plan is designed to benefit municipalities at all levels of government and can serve to maximize the benefits of state and federal planning and financial investments in land and infrastructure. I see one elected official here this evening that I recognize. Are there any other elected officials? I see two. Richard Krieg, Mayor of Mendham Township. Stand up. Corey Fuller, Councilwoman from Chatham Borough.
Council President.
Council President, is she? Okay. Anyone else? Any elected officials am I missing? Okay. Others may come. Thank you. Okay. With that said, we will now open the comment portion of the public hearing. As I said, we want to give everyone who wants to speak an opportunity to do so. Given the number of people I see here and not intending to stay here past midnight, we'll ask you to confine your comments to about 3 minutes, if you don't mind. Council reserves the right to expedite the process if necessary, so as not to deny anyone the opportunity to speak. Sitting to my left, as I said, is Scott Whitenack, a member of the Highlands Council. Mr. Whitenack will be my timer. He will advise me when we're getting to the 3 minute mark. Not too hard, I hope. Kick under the table or something. But he will do it in a visible fashion so that the speakers can also see when they're approaching the 3 minute mark. Is that right, Jeff? Okay, thank you. So, let's start. I have the blue sign-in sheets, and I will use those as the order in which we're going to call speakers. When I call your name, please come forward to the microphone, state your name, and if you have any official affiliation, do so. Add that for the record, please. Marion Harris, number one. Good evening.
Hello, I'm Marion Harris. I'm the chairman of the Morris County Trust for Historic Preservation.
Excuse me, Marion. Can everyone at the back of the room hear? Okay, thank you.
And also president of a little-known organization called the Mount Hope Historical Conservancy. And I have been, until very recently, the chairman of the Morristown Historic Preservation Commission. I am also tonight coming from, not exactly representing, but out of a group of six or seven people who understand that you cannot effectively protect natural resources and cultural resources separately. They are inseparable, and you have to consider them together. I think that other members of this small, unnamed group will testify at different times, and eventually we are going to provide written comments, although we don't have them all ready now. I can tell you who these mysterious people are. A couple of us have organizations, some of them don't. But the main thing that brought us together is that we wanted to be sure that cultural resources were covered adequately in the plan, which we don't think they really are at the time, although we're very grateful that they're covered at all. And right from the beginning of the plan, I have tried to say that whenever I have talked to you about it. What I'd like to do in my 3 minutes tonight is talk about inventory of cultural resources, how you get it, how you evaluate it, and how you protect it, because we have some suggestions that may make it easier for you to do that, and it's very important for you to do that inventory before you start figuring out what kind of protections you can place on resources like this. I understand that you have the State Historic Preservation Office database. I'm sure you know, and they'll be the first to tell you, that that's very far from being 100% of the cultural resources that need to be recognized in the state. There's going to be a lot more stuff coming out there. That will give you the beginning of a list that you can work from, but first of all, you need to be able to describe in general terms what the cultural resources of the Highlands are like. Why is this area different from, for instance, the city of Seattle? What do you say about the way the area developed? What made it develop that way? How did the road pattern develop? What kinds of buildings were built there? How big were they? How tall were they? How close together were they? What have you got on the ground? In order to do this, you really need a far more complete history of the area than you've been able to have so far. There are people who can do this for you. Peter Wacker can do it. Brian Morrell can do it. Rick Porter can do it. I'm sure these are names that are known to you, and some of them actually are in the small group that I'm talking to you about. So you need to have a background for the inventory, and then, yes, people will suggest things to you, but there's really no substitute for sending people out to collect things, and they have to be fairly knowledgeable people to know what is significant. Once you have defined significance for the area in a general way, you go out and you say, oh, look, there used to be a mine site there, and I recognize that because I see what the ground looks like. That takes special training for somebody. You can't just have a neighbor saying, well, we got a hole in the ground last week, there must be a mine under there. So you have to go through this collection process very carefully, and then when you get your list of things, You have to evaluate them. Now, that's the thing that takes technical training. And it occurs to us that it would be useful for you to draw on the cultural tact that you have, because there are people there who are very well equipped to go through the list of proposed cultural resources that people have brought in and say, this is significant and this is probably not significant, and this one we have to go out and look at to see how much integrity is left. Because maybe it was an important building at one point, maybe you have a late.
Sorry. I don't mean to stop you. I was just trying to give you a signal.
I thought you looked as if you were having indigestion. What did you mean with this?
I'm just trying to signal you that that's time.
He's telling me that you're getting to the 3-minute mark.
Okay. So anyway, the time can help you. But also, if you need professional help, there's no reason why you can't do what NJ New Jersey Transit and NJDOT do and rent some time of somebody who works in the state historic preservation office. I haven't even got to the protections part yet. There are a lot more here.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, could you read this for me, since I didn't bring my glasses and I'm an old man?
Dennis Harsley. From Riverdale.
Thank you.
Can I just maybe interject also, Mary? And we were able to actually get to a second round this afternoon if a couple of people want to go back. I think the whole point of the 3 minutes is get through everyone at least once.
But you will have written comments subsequently.
And Mary, and you know I never tire of listening to you.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Dennis Harsley. I'm from Riverdale. I'm just a citizen that's concerned about the water in my area and the overgrowth of my town. I see the planned community zones. They take in quite a large area. And I've seen the open areas in my town disappear to development. And the Highlands Council, I asked to think about this, that they should be included in the protection zone, because you have all this construction going on. It adds pollutants to the environment. Then after the construction, you have problems with the runoff from the vehicle traffic that it incurs. It brings in a lot more vehicles, and you have to make more roads. And then you get more pollution of your streams, water, and your aquifer, which I'm concerned with, because my well now has problems, and I'm concerned with the drinking quality. And I just don't want the citizens who, in the future, who have to come up against problems of what to do for clean water, how to purify what we have, not enough water, where do we get it from? And that's all I would like you to think about, is that some of these planned community zones should be in the protection zone. That's it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Jeff Tittle. I saw him here. Never known Jeff Tittle to walk out on the talking opportunity. Is he here?
Yeah.
Are you Jeff Tittle?
Yes, thank you. I got to check my wallet some days, but I just wanted to thank the council for having a hearing. It's long overdue for all of us who've been involved with Highlands issues. It's been at least 18 years. I'll be brief, because other people haven't spoken. I spoke a little earlier today. You know, to me, the Highlands are just an incredible place when you think about what opportunities we have as far as land preservation, doing balanced growth, and more importantly, preserving the natural resources and features. We have things in the Highlands that appear nowhere else in the country. We are at the northern end of most southern species. We're at the southern end of most northern species and have a biodiversity second to none. We have some of the most incredible scenic vistas. I think of up in Ringwood when I go hiking behind my house there. I can look out and see the Wanakee Reservoir and look to the north, see the mountains up to Sterling Forest, and look across the Wanakee Reservoir and see the New York skyline. But when you're standing on that ridge and you're looking out, you also see the development that has been marching steadily every year from urban New Jersey out into the Highlands, and then you see the bridge from 287 going across the Wanaque Gorge, and you see development that was taking place on the sides of mountains. And some of that development, because there was never any capacity analysis done, there was never any real zoning in place other than the whims of the town, nothing based on science, nothing based on real land use. You see developments where they chew up the side of the hill, where you see buildings that have come down because of mudslides, because they're built on slopes like this, because there's no slope regulations. You see properties at the bottom that have been flooded out by those developments. And you see the people in those towns having to spend a tremendous amount of time and money of themselves to protect their properties from flooding, or when a new subdivision goes in to dig a new well, or to put in a new septic because the development went in behind and flooded out their septic field. The people who live in the Highlands, who care, who've been there for years, who have put up with high taxes and long commutes, are there because they love it, and they want to see the Highlands protected. And I think that's something that sometimes we miss when we hear a lot of the yelling and things that go on, that the people who live in the Highlands, especially I know in my community, really care about the Highlands and want to make sure that there's a strong, comprehensive plan that protects the equity for all the people in the Highlands and all the homeowners, not just land speculators. Secondly, when you look out and you see that beautiful vista and you see all that development, well, all those areas of New Jersey depend on that island for water. $100 billion worth of economy. And when you think about what would happen if we lose the islands, well, the North Jersey Water Supply Commission did a study in 2004 where they talked about if the islands were lost, the additional treatment for the water consumers of New Jersey would be $100 billion over the next 50 years. If there's water there, because one of the things that we've seen in the Highlands is we've seen development take place. We've seen streams that used to run in the summertime dry up because of overpumping from new development. We see waters that used to be able to drink out of that were pristine now become polluted. And we've seen mountains get blown up and sliced in half. And what we see with the Highlands Act is that that won't happen in the future. That we'll be protecting those natural resources, and that we will be looking toward the future for the state, for the people who live in the Highlands. I wanted to make a couple of comments on the plan, and one thing that really disturbs me, because it hasn't been defined, and that is on, I guess, the purple areas. I wore a purple tie for that kind of reason. What's going to happen to those areas? We know from the plan that they could become TDR receiving areas, they could become places for transit villages, for redevelopment, but we don't know what the densities are going to be and how much growth they can take. And those areas are above water supply intakes or above reservoirs. And the concern is, what's the capacity? What's the analysis going to show? What's the impact from that potential development? And I think we need to take a second look at those community development areas to find out what really is capacity of that area, and can they really grow? Because some of them I know, like up in West Milford and Ring, are they going to be for infill, or are they going to be for redevelopment? And can you handle that without bringing any sewers or doing other things that goes against the act?
Thank you.
And my last piece, just real quick, okay, is that we need to get the water analysis done, the capacity analysis, the build-out analysis, and nitrate model. Without that, you don't really have a plan yet.
Thank you. Just a comment here. Mr. Tittle was very eloquent on why it's important to protect the Highlands and a very good spokesman on behalf of the Highlands Act. That's important. I'd like to hear it. I'm sure we all do. We understand that, and having an understanding of that helps us better understand why we're here and why the plan has been developed in the first place. But the purpose of this evening's meeting is to talk about the draft regional master plan. It's entirely possible, given the size of the plan and the brief time that it has been out, that not everyone has had an opportunity to read it all, let alone fully digest it and understand it. But if you can confine your comments to the plan, that would be the most helpful thing for us. That's what we're trying to get to here. That's what this public hearing is. I'll allow other comments without too much chagrin, but bear that in mind if you don't mind. David Pringle.
My name is David Pringle. I'm the campaign director for the New Jersey Environmental Federation. We have 90,000 individual members throughout New Jersey, the vast majority of which consume Highlands water as their primary source of drinking water. And virtually all that recreate and benefit from the economic benefits resulting from Highlands Way. My family live in New Jersey, drinks Elizabethtown water and showers in Elizabethtown water every day, which comes from primarily the Highlands, thanks to their area. I'm also here representing in the process of a group of urban activists and mayors will be submitting comments, and I'm representing two in particular tonight, Reverend Dr. James from the ministry in the North, is also head of the North Jersey Black Clergy Association, and Nathan Smith, Mayor of Burlington, and president of the New Jersey Urban Mayors. They themselves are consumers of Highlands drinking water and represent many other folks that do as well. With the hearing officer's context and why, I will be commenting on making some specific points on the plan, but our basic premise is that the plan, while moving in the right direction, isn't strong enough, and you have already faced tremendous political pressure to have the plan be as weak as possible. To combat that, the reason we have this plan is because of the context, and the context can't be stressed enough, and so I'm going to spend half of my time on the context before I comment. The flow of the Passaic River during drought conditions, which happened several times in the last decade, is almost 100% treated sewage. North Jersey's drinking water fountains at a school were shut down because of high levels of contamination linked to birth defects, miscarriages, and cancer that are directly attributable to the overdevelopment of the Highlands. As Mr. Tittle mentioned, the $100 million for the treatment that the North Jersey Water Supply Commission estimated, that's $400 per resident per year for the next 50 years. So much for the government's property tax savings, because we just lost it if we don't adequately protect the Highlands. To that end, we're pleased that 65% of the Highlands is in the protection zone under this plan, but a lot of that is in the planning area and it's voluntary. The old adage goes, you can't judge a book by its cover. We like the cover, but you know, the split of the pages is what matters. And many of the pages are blank. Just receiving the technical reports today, I would argue the most important technical reports have yet to be released around water resources. It's my understanding that, especially for the agricultural areas and nitrate density models and all, that information is remaining MIA for the foreseeable future. So it's difficult to comment when this kind of critical information is lacking. And meanwhile, Rome is burning, losing 5,000 acres in New Jersey Highlands every year. More costs, more development, more pollution, less water. Even in non-drought conditions, the Paquonic River, entirely within the Highlands, is out of water, literally. Wells are running dry in non-drought conditions. So in that, I'd like to make a few specific comments on the plan.
You have about a minute.
Okay. The first is I would like to emphasize in the planned community zones, the purple areas. Yes, wetlands are regulated, and so there will be very little development on those wetlands, but stuff happens and those wetlands will sometimes get developed. Even when they don't get developed, you're setting false expectations and you're creating more conflict. It's the state plan all over again. You have to clearly designate this stuff. And finally, even when those areas aren't developed themselves, they're going to be developing or risking developing the upland areas within those planned community zones. The wetlands and the other impacted representative areas can dry up, and they will be destroyed just the same, even though you didn't develop them. So please take a much closer look at that.
Thank you.
Second.
Sorry, can you conclude? We're getting there.
One final point. Half of the consumers of Highlands drinking water live in Middlesex, Essex, and Union County, and there are no public hearings for half of the folks that are going to be directly attributed or directly impacted by this. And so as you're getting more hearings in, I would like to see, it would be nice if one hearing was an urban area directly impacted by Highlands. Thank you.
Mr. Hank Clark.
Evening. Thanks for letting me speak today. I appreciate it. I'm one of the property owners that this Highlands Act has affected. My name is Hank Klump. I'm a farmer in Hunterdon, and I have 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation. Those of you on the Highlands Council who have been here since day one, as I have been, can hopefully feel my frustrated pain over the agony of having my property value stolen right out from under me. This is land my family and I have cared for generations. Instead of being rewarded for the care that has been given to the land, I've been made the victim of the Highlands. That doesn't have now and never did have any money in place to compensate me or others for life savings. The Highlands Act should have been shelved because funds were not in place to implement the act. Watch the films on TV about the Highlands and its plans for the future. Where in the film does it say that the following was made possible by the theft of land values from farmers and large landowners in the Highlands? Unfortunately, people are not aware of how this Highlands Act is hurting people. All they hear is about water, trees, endangered species. Not who is actually paying the price. Even the governor who signed this flawed act lives on a postage stamp in Plainfield. Does he care about my family or my property theft? It has been written that in a perfect world, property owners would receive the real estate value for their land. But under the circumstance, compromise will have to be made. Would that satisfy you if the property in question was yours? Recent maps I have seen shows my farm should never have been included. Politics, not science, determine the line boundaries for the Highlands preservation. This matter comes more unjust as time goes on. How can it stand? My wife is writing a book about our life in Hunterdon, the past, the present, and possible future. The publicist has told her she may find it difficult to convince the public that she is writing, what she is writing is a fact and not fiction. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And one other note. If this plan is going to work, somebody's got to come up with some money. That's the name of the game. And if there's no money, there should be no plan. Because, you know, there's people whose life has been on hold for over 3 years. And nothing. How would you feel if you had money in the bank and somebody came up to you and said, gee, I'm sorry, you can't use it anymore? It's un-American, it's unrealistic. And when you're trying to live in today's world, it's not right.
Thank you, Hank.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Robert Johnson.
Hi, I'm Robert Johnson. I live in Summit, New Jersey. I think the plan, the Highlands plan, is a good plan. However, I suggest you strengthen it by doing the build-out analysis so we will know what the future holds, and by doing a carrying capacity analysis so we will know if the future is sustainable. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Rory Corrigan.
Rory Corrigan, resident of Morristown, just a taxpayer citizen with some interest. I support the draft. I support the act that it's in support of. I won't repeat all that's been said about water, but I firmly and strongly agree with it, as do my family and most of my neighbors. I've been a resident here since 83, live close to the Working River, and we've watched a degradation of the land in and around Morristown by sprawl, by the how should I say, violation of everything from zoning ordinances. We've been profiting with our water resources. This is an imperfect draft, I realize. I think the act itself is imperfect in many ways, which you'll hear about tonight. But I also think it's far-sighted legislation that needs to be enacted, needs to be strengthened, and I applaud your efforts to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Ross Kushner here?
Good evening. Ross Kushner, I'm representing the Quantic River Coalition. I have formal comments which I'll summarize tonight. I'll hand them in full set. When the Highlands Act was adopted, there was cause for both concern and relief. Concern because more than half of New Jersey Highlands were placed in a planning area and essentially unprotected. Even though towns in the planning area may eventually opt in, the towns that are likely to opt in, the towns that are serious about water protection, were never the problem in the first place. However, we can still rejoice in the fact that almost half the Highlands were placed in the preservation area, the Fort Worth area. This draft plan puts 150,000 acres of the Highlands into planned community zones where growth will be promoted. That's about 220 square miles. Incredibly, 17,000 of those acres, 25 square miles, are being carved out of the preservation area and into the growth zones, putting lands that we thought were protected forever right back on the chopping block. I'm amazed that the builders are still complaining, but Nadia and Pulte Homes should be throwing a party. According to the council, lands in the planned community zones have minimal environmental constraints. I wish it were so. As a single example, and by the council's own admission, 7,000 acres in these growth zones, that's 10 square miles, are wetlands, critical to water quality. From our own analysis, many thousands more are floodplains, steep slopes, river and stream buffers, and wellhead protection areas. These are lands that are essential to water supply and quality. These are the same lands the Highlands Act was designed to protect, and that the citizens of New Jersey have a right to see protected. In fact, the Highlands Act specifically lists the protection of wetlands, vegetated stream corridors, and steep slopes as a goal of the Regional Master Plan. That the council is putting these lands in harm's way is outrageous. We have heard the argument that these lands will be reviewed on a lot-by-lot basis, and the environmental concerns will be handled as development is proposed. Yet this is precisely the scattergun local approach the regional plan is supposed to avoid. Again, the State of Iowa Highlands Act is to, and I quote, discourage piecemeal, scattered, and inappropriate development, end quote. It is unbelievable that all this money and effort have been wasted only to put land use control right back where it started. The first and most important thing a resource-based map should accomplish is to identify those lands critical to water supply and place them off limits. In this, the council has failed utterly. We know where these lands are. We know they are sensitive. Why are we putting them at risk? This morning, I developed a map showing the planned community zones with these sensitive lands identified or removed. I created this map in less than an hour. The council, with dozens of staff and millions in their budget, has yet to achieve this in 2 years. Until and unless this regional mapping recognizes lands essential to water resources and protects them fully, this plan will be a sham and a disgrace. The council must go back to the drawing board. It's time we got this right. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Brenda Holzinger.
Hi, good evening. Hi. And thank you. My name is Brenda Holzinger. I live in Morristown, and I'm an individual who uses a lot of New Jersey's protected open spaces. I'm here tonight as the conservation chair of the Adirondack Mountain Club, the North Jersey chapter, and we are primarily a hiking club. I wanted to refer to the council to consider Newark as a spot for a public hearing. I think you all know that Newark is not only a huge consumer of Highlands water, but it's also a very large Highlands landowner. Newark owns about 35,000 acres of some of the wildest area in the Highlands, the Pequannock watershed. And by having a hearing in York, the Highlands Council would be taking an opportunity, I think, that would be very significant to educate more of New Jersey citizens about the very vital connection between preserving open space and also protecting our drinking water. And also sort of moving along with that link between connecting open space and water, urge the council to think about two things that I don't think have been mentioned before. The first is the issue of off-road vehicles. And I would urge the council to think of the draft regional master plan as an opportunity to think about off-road ordinances and perhaps include a model ordinance in your basket of ordinances for the local municipalities to use in their conformance activities. And I would further suggest the Pinelands as an excellent model of this way of putting ATV protections into place. About half of the Pinelands municipalities now have these ordinances in place, and they're experiencing some very positive results. And I would be happy to give the council some information on that. I have some information that I could pass on to you. Finally, I want to bring the council's attention to something called the Lackawanna Cutoff, which is a 26-mile railroad bed that lies entirely in the Highlands region. And it's currently targeted by the DOT and New Jersey Transit for a large transportation, public transportation project that would put a rail line in place that would ultimately connect eastern Pennsylvania with New York City. And one of the things that we fear is this would give New Jersey more of what we don't need, which is sprawl. Furthermore, the draft environmental impact statement just came out for this project, and the price tag is now an estimated over $500 million. My group, the Adirondack Mountain Club, thinks that, again, this is a great opportunity for the Highlands Council to protect what is an incredible example of sophisticated engineering, and it's something that could be protected and really turned into a world-class rail trail that would be another attraction in the Highlands that could bring some revenue into the area. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Victor Lago Massino.
I am a landowner in both the planning area. I live in the planning area, and I have property in the protection zone. Currently, it's costing me $1,000 a month to carry the protection zone property. And this is money that I've been losing for the last couple of years because I've been put in limbo with the clients. My feeling is, you know, I have lost a lot of property value here. And we talk about compensation to a certain degree, but there is no plan for it. I do have a suggestion. I heard today how much other counties use our water, and yet I think a positive way to do it was possibly float a bond to compensate property owners and have the water that they're using that's coming out of our property taxed and paid the bond with the money that's being taxed on the water. That's a possibility right there. I also feel exclusionism to areas. Some people want it just for hiking, while other people may like to use it other ways. Exclusionism isn't the way to go. We all pay for this property in our taxes, and I like to see it open to all forms of use. I just like, you know, I didn't write anything down. I just talked from the heart here. And I do wish I don't get my planning area changed at the last moment because I'm already hurting from the protection area. So if we do a last minute switch where the planning area gets turned into protection, I'm getting zapped twice here. I really don't want that happening. I do wish you'd look at how this bill came to fruition here. signed by a governor on his last day in office as he left in disgrace. I do think that there was some insider trading going on there also, so I just, maybe that bond issue is a way to look at things and compensate us. Thank you.
Thank you. David Epstein, Stein.
Good evening. My name is David Epstein with Lawrence Lane Conservancy, and I served on the Governor's Highlands Task Force back in 2003. The Grand Highlands Regional Master Plan makes it clear that demand for water already exceeds supply in more than half of Highlands watersheds. Many Highlands streams are already polluted. For a state that's so completely dependent upon drinking water from the Highlands, this is stunning and frightening news. While the Regional Master Plan designation of nearly two-thirds of the Highlands to the protection zone is positive, strong protective standards and constraints to development need to be applied in all three zones in order to effectively protect water supply quality. Current mapping is inadequate and needs to show all important water supply features such as wetlands, steep slopes, wellhead protection areas. These areas, when mapped, should be given the strongest protections, regardless of which zone they fall into. Morris Land Conservancy believes strongly in the equity provision of the Highlands Act. We've purchased 38 different properties totaling 3,500 acres in the Highlands since the Act was passed into law in August 2004. We purchased these all from willing sellers. They resulted in protecting natural resources with the cooperation of the landowners. As you all know, the largest source of funding for purchasing land in the Highlands is from the Garden State Preservation Trust, which unfortunately is out of money. We applaud the Highlands Council for supporting the effort to move funding from the GSPT, and we call on all the landowners and the towns in the Highlands to join us in supporting reauthorization of the GSPT. We strongly support the policy that the Highlands Council require any lands in the Highlands region that are proposed for reversion from green acres requirements that they secure Highlands Council determination that such a diversion is consistent with the RMP. We support conformance requirements that municipalities and counties incorporate an open space element in the region in their master plans that are consistent with the RMP standards, and that they maintain a current recreation open space inventory. Among the long-term goals, we support the development of a forest easement purchase program and recommend that this program be developed through the DEP in order to assure protection of multiple forest values, including wildlife habitat and water quality. We also recommend that conservation priority areas and agricultural priority areas be combined onto a single map. Separating them onto two maps provides a misleading picture of the extent and location of areas that should be priorities for preservation. Further, the council should clearly designate the no development zone within the protection zone. We urge the Highlands Council to work with the SADC to establish incentives for farms to be preserved with a 5% impervious coverage limit, as required by the Highlands Act. We also urge that prime agricultural soils be strongly protected within the conservation zone throughout the Highlands region. The conservation zone should include stronger conservation provisions, including a prohibition on non-farm development and strong protections of grassland species and scenic values. In closing, we urge you as the Highlands Council to create and implement a strong Highlands plan that will fulfill the mandate of the Highlands Act. Thank you for having this hearing and having this hearing.
Thank you. Susan Buck.
Hi, Susan Buck from Boston, New Jersey. I can say at least this, I'm really, really, really happy that this process is starting to come to an end, because it hasn't been difficult for me. Poor Bendigo, and I do mean poor. Since just about 3 years ago, I lost just about everything that I owned when the Highlands Act was passed. But it's been difficult for me to sit through this process. I've participated with the process. I've served on technical advisory committees and the like. And it's finally almost over. And it's tough to listen to the continued rhetoric that is happens with the planning process and has happened in the publication of the plan. We are told that Even today, I mean, the plan is widely distributed to the municipalities. Maybe if they paid for it, but it wasn't sent to them, they had to request it, it's for sale in the back. That's not my definition of widely distributed. The plan was supposed to be based on science. We were promised all of this science, and then when the plan was delayed, it was because of the great science we were going to use. Starting in July, we start to see a release of the long-awaited scientific data. None of the stuff that means a hoot has been released. Yet I'm having flashbacks. It's just like when the Highlands Act itself was passed. We would come into the hearing and they would say, oh, don't worry, all the things you're upset about have all been fixed. Here's a new 150-page version of the Highlands Act, which we didn't even know existed. It would come out on Sunday night, Monday morning, you'd show up at the hearing, and we had absolutely no idea. That's another method to try and confuse the comments. That's what I feel happened here today. We released how many? 8, 9, 10 different technical reports? And that's supposed to diffuse the how angry we all are that the technical reports were never provided as promised? Well, it's not diffused. I haven't had a chance to read it, but I've been down this road long enough to know that I don't have to. I did have somebody take a quick look at it. Apparently, there's still nothing of substance in there. There is no science. It's all fluff. I've read thousands of pages of pure fluff. It's not going to accomplish the goals. Everything that was promised to us in the Highlands Act, at first glance, 11 things that the Highlands Act dictated needed to be done in the master plan were completely and totally ignored. We still have no capacity analysis. We still don't know which areas and what kind of growth they can sustain. We don't have a TDR program. There's no substance whatsoever. There's no financial impact analysis. We're supposed to take a look at what the financial impact's going to be on the area and on the culture. What's it going to cost the state? What's it going to cost the people that live there? How is it going to sustain itself? What kind of business is still going to be in existence? How is agriculture going to stay alive? Not one of those things has been addressed. I can't call this a plan. I'm upset at myself that I dedicated this much time participating in the process, reading all the information. One quick glance at the bibliography tells you how much science there is. My teachers always taught me, take a look at the bibliography if you want to see what the quality of the written material is. Well, I did. I read quite a few things that were in the bibliography. It's all fluff.
Thank you, Mr. Bush. Wayne Anderson.
Good evening. My name is Wayne Anderson. Moray Berman's land in the preservation area that's designated as a tree farm. It's been in the family for over 70 years, and we've been good stewards of the land for that time. The Highlands Water and Protection and Planning Act, is this actually necessary? Is this the sole means to obtain clean water, and can the state afford it? The council has undertaken a difficult task, a task without a dedicated funding source and under severe time constraints. For any plan to accomplish the end result of clean water, it must enlist the assistance of the landowners. This means adequate compensation and incentives for proper property management. A water fee is critical to fund this program and allow timely funding to the landowners. Excessive fees and permits will negate improvements to Highlands environment. Many landowners cannot afford the legal and engineering fees if they desire to make any improvements in the Highlands. These costs discourage landowners from being good stewards of the land. Who are the beneficiaries of this act? What are they being asked to contribute? Nothing. They will continue to water their lawns and fill their pools with cheap and clean water. The council should go back to the legislature to revise the act so the council can fulfill the intent of the act more fairly and equitably. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. John Irwin.
I'll pass.
Okay. Want to come back later?
I'd like to speak for him.
Yes, my wife will speak.
Valerie Irwin, and
my wife speaks for me too, so it's all right.
A number of years ago, I worked with the Geraldine Dodge Foundation for about 10 years. We supported various efforts to address the needs and the quality of life of New Jersey, so that's part of my background. Currently, I'm simply a resident of Morristown. But I have been myself studying the way that people respond to different issues, and people respond to images. In fact, Freud has done a number of studies where groups do not even listen to facts or information. Groups look, and what they see affects how they understand. And the larger public doesn't understand the technological language, they don't know who to trust. There are obviously so many interests involved here that are legitimate and important. But I just wanted to make a simple suggestion, and that is that in the back of your mind, you might think about an image that can bring people together, a simple image that can also have something informative with it, so that people can understand that the source of life for New Jersey resides in this region, that the entire state is dependent on it. And therefore, if money needs to be had, the larger public needs to be rallied, and as a 25-year fundraiser, which was largely my work, I know that imagery is what corrals people's interest, and that will support the plan, because people will give to what they understand, and people understand through imagery. Thank you.
Thank you. Jay Anderson from Lebanon Township.
Good evening. My husband and I have attended many of the Highlands Council meetings over the past couple of years. We listened as you tried to comprehend yourselves how to go about coming up with a draft master plan to implement the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act. We were at the meeting when you voted to put forth what you came up with. With due respect for your time and effort, this plan is not acceptable. One major concern, as pointed out so correctly by Councilmember Kurt Alsteed, is that there are no concrete, viable plans nor available funds to fairly compensate the landowners who are being hurt. As a landowner in the preservation area, I strongly object that my rights under the U.S. Constitution are being denied. One specific instance is in the Fifth Amendment, where it states, "Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation." Thank you.
Robert Workman. Jay Grant. I thought I saw Jay back there. Here he comes.
Good evening, council members.
Good evening.
My name is Jay Grant. I'm a home builder, second generation from Mendon, New Jersey. I'm also the chairman of the Community Builders Association Highlands Council or Highlands Committee that has been monitoring your efforts. As a businessman, as a citizen, and as a member of the my Builders Association, I am very concerned about the acts of this council and the act itself. I'll refer you to two specific points in your master in your draft plan. One refers to vernal ponds that will affect the ruling of development in the future as it relates to the planning and the preservation area. Your intent is to have a 1,000-foot border around the entire radius of each pond, defined as an area that lasts less than 24 hours after a rain. De facto, no development. A second concern is your another detail in your plan that calls for 125% recharge in an area where, if you have a 100-acre property that has now been entitled to build one home on, the developer of that one home is required by your plan to recharge 125% of the entire area. Development has become impossible in this area. I have a client who owns 12 acres in Morris County on a home on a site that has an existing home from 100 years ago. He cannot get a permit to build for 2 years after $100,000 in legal engineering fees. The text of the draft plan states that there are three elements of the regional master plan: the policy guideline document, technical reports, and guidance documents, and implementation framework. The council released the draft plan to the public without these technical reports. Our association has filed suit, as you know, against the council, and we hope to be heard this week. We are asking the judge to force you to release those plans. I find that an insult to us as the public, that we have to spend our energy to get the fiscal impact analysis that the public paid for, and now we can't see, which you have used as the basis for your plan. The council glossed over this fact, and these reports are not being provided, nor is there any steps being taken other than our lawsuit to remediate the failure to release these reports. The plan relies heavily on the work of outside consultants. However, their reports and their analysis is not available to the public. Why? The council states that the plan is science-based. However, there is no time frame provided as to when the reports will be released. It does not seem likely that the reports will be released quick enough during the public comment period. And if the public comment period closes, when are we going to have a chance to review these reports to give you that information? In closing, I want to refer you to one short story, an example of one of our Pilgrim members who was an immigrant, like my grandparents, who came over to Ellis Island to avoid persecution. But a lot of Americans made up immigrants. And this particular immigrant came from Estonia. He left that country when the government took his land. He came here and became a village developer. I don't consider that a bad thing. He made a living here. He has now been, his land has been taken again. There's a parallel here. This was a communist government in Estonia that took his land, and then he had to leave to preserve his livelihood and his family. The long story of his story is that his family has just been given back the land 50 years after it was taken. I suggest that I hope I will live long enough to see that the government will have to give back this land either by force of the U.S. Supreme Court or by another ruling that will take away this act. Development is not something that should be taken away without compensation to the rights of the property owner. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Christine Hepburn.
I'm retired to North Marquette County, where I also own land. First, I just want to say that I've been very proud of our state. When we passed the Highlands Act, you should all feel very proud of your activities. I think you've had to work very hard, and I think you're going to have to work very hard, and I'm very grateful for all these efforts of yours. I am not an environmental expert in any way, so I'm here just as a taxpaying citizen who doesn't live in the Highland region. I have been involved in very local land use and environmental issues within Madison. So I've been on the Planning Board, the Environmental Commission, and the Open Space Committee. So in that capacity, I'm not sure what order I should go in here, but I've been involved in initiating and passing zoning changes in Madison, in one case along Main Street to increase the amount of development that could take place. We're engaged generally in trying to increase development in our town where we already have paved it, and to save the land that is not paved. In another case, we changed the zoning of a residential area so that the minimum lot sizes would have to be larger. In either case, was there compensation going either way? The owners of Main Street didn't pay the government, and the government of Madison did not pay the residential landowners when we changed them, increased the minimum lot size, preventing several of them from being able to subdivide the land. So I'm a little confused by the outright takings discussion. I mean, if you've had land for generations, then I think even with the Act and your master plan in place, the rules in place, you have equity in that land. But maybe somebody can explain that to me, or why, if you've been a good steward for years, you can't continue being a good steward. That said, I do think there should be lots of funding available for open space purchases. I agree with purchasing some open space at the generously, I think in the plan you can purchase it for the pre-Highlands Act value. I think there should be not only the normal funding sources we've had, but any water tax. Water is valuable, obviously, that's why we're here.
and people should pay for it. I've gotten involved in environmental issues as a non-expert, I think just because I'm a worrier by nature. I look around, worry about what's going on and what's going to happen in the future, and so obviously I'm worried about water supply. I think we'll have a water supply going forward, even if we're not the best managers, it will just cost us much, much more money than it should. So that's a concern. But things like the habitat, the grasslands, and vast woodlands and wetlands, the scenic views and hills in the highlands, you know, the biodiversity is absolutely priceless. So that actually is what gets me out of the house when I'm on my lower end. Thanks to my land in Warren County, as a very relatively old person, I just recently became acquainted with spring peepers. So I'm very pleased to see, you know, if they need 1,000 feet from vernal ponds, I'm very pleased that you're giving it to them. Just some specific things. I mean, I've looked at some of the literature that's moving around and certainly read the paper. I do think there should definitely be a 5% impervious coverage limit pushed somehow in agricultural lands. Cluster zoning should go on probably together with agricultural use. What else? Well, you know, I think what the only point I really have to make left is I hope you'll weigh heavily the input of the environmental groups. There's been countless number of environmental groups who have input that are spread throughout the islands. These people have nothing to gain. I mean, they might have an environmental agenda, but I think they come to that because they're warriors, like I am. The builders, something wrong with builders, but obviously it's in their financial interest to have all land available with no environmental restrictions. So I think their experts, their comments and their experts need to be taken with a huge grain of salt.
Thank you. Thank you. I have Grace and John Riello. I'll take either one or both. You must be Grace.
Yes, we're Grace and John now.
So.
And,
you never know.
We live at 26 Reisman Avenue. Our concern is our property block 231, lot 26. It's 9 acres bordering the Wanakee Reservoir, and you know we're in trouble. We are in a forest protection preservation zone. And I'm here as a representative of my two siblings. We definitely, everybody in the family believes in the Highlands. We were before the Highlands Council here a year and a half ago, and we have been working for a year and a half with Laura, Ross, Neil, Muller, Catherine and Karen, the Green Acres, and the North Jersey Water Commission. And right now we're a little bit frustrated because we have been through appraisal process. I've hired a lawyer. We're now $3,500 less in our pockets, and it has absolutely just fallen flat. At this particular point, we don't know what to do. The land that we own is a former recreational area. It is, we know within your highlands, that's what you want to do, is to revitalize these recreational areas. It is an absolute beautiful spot. It could be utilized for the public. It's not happening. I understand that, you know, there are money concerns, and that's what concerns us too. I have a sister who is a paraplegic. She has 24-hour care. This was an estate that was left to, part of that money goes to her for her care. She's had to remortgage her home. It's just left us absolutely frustrated. We don't know what else to do. I would like the Highlands Council to have this packet so that they can see all of it and what we did and the expenditures that we have made.
By the Highlands Construction.
And by the Highlands Construction. We went exactly, we got 3 acres appraisals, we did everything. And I just recently talked to Joy Farber and she said, oh, you should never have done that. But we were instructed to do that and we did it in good faith. And it just fell kind of flat, and you just don't know what else to do now.
Could you give that packet to Mr. Borden over here, if you don't mind, when
yes.
You're finished? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You know,
do you get 6 minutes because the two of you?
No.
I'd like to do that.
No. First of all, you have to understand,
I listen to all these comments, and we believe in the Highlands Act. This problem we have is that we were instructed by the county that wanted to buy the property when they found out, and it's $1.3 million for 9.5 acres. It's an established facility for recreation. And we have, now nobody has the money. And the biggest problem we had is that we can't, I don't understand what we can do. What, like I said, I've served 2 years in my country. I believe in the Constitution. But you just can't acquisition our retirement and say, I'm 70 years old. By the time we're compensated, we may be dead. And the problem we have is...
You're not applauding that you'll be dead, believe me. That's not the thing.
Be careful, Hank.
There were people in town who were applauding my God.
Thank you both very much. Thank you for your comments.
I'm just trying to say this. What happens to people like us that really in our age group, that the town that you haven't compensated, like the one lady said here, there are ways to do it. If our properties are going to be confiscated, the whole state has to pay for the water they use here. Here, we have the water with them. We can't build on our property. One town over, they build 100 condominiums, and they use our water. This is inappropriate. And we're just asking you to look into it and to resolve it as fast as you can so we can be compensated.
Thank you. Dr. Lynn Siebert.
Good evening. My name is Dr. Lynn Siebert. I'm from Morris Township. I don't want to repeat a lot of the comments that were made. I just would like to say I think it's an admirable effort that's happened so far. I would like to see many of the buffer zones and specific capacity elements defined, especially for the areas that are still open potentially to development. I am concerned about the planned community zones still being vulnerable to the bad land use decisions that have been made in the past. And I hope, and I'm sure that you will be addressing this since so many people have brought it up, but I would hope that all of the restricted features, the wetlands and buffer zones, the steep slopes, the stream corridors, the floodplains will all be clearly demarcated and that the areas are really, there is no room to build, especially in the planned community zones, will be clearly marked as the plan is put into its final form. The other thing that I just wanted to mention, I know that you've heard this as far as the plan for what it would cost if you didn't have the Highlands protected properly in New Jersey. I also call to mind the studies that were done in New York when there was a concern about preserving both the water quality and quantity for the New York City water supply and how the Adirondacks feeding zones were examined. And I believe, and this was many years ago, maybe 20, 25 years ago, that they came up with realizing it would be over $5 billion if they let the land be developed around it instead of preserving it. $5 billion more to do that and to then have the operation and maintenance costs associated with the water treatment facilities that would have to take care of providing that water, if the water supply even was able to be maintained. So I think that that's a powerful argument. I'm sympathetic to those whose properties have suffered, but I also understand that when you're dealing with something like this, it obviously takes a lot of effort to get the financial wherewithal in place. I know that you're working very hard, and I just wanted to personally thank you for all the efforts that have gone on so far, and I hope that you will continue to address them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Devin Mackey. Fine, how are you?
Earlier, I'll try to keep this short. A couple of points to bring up to you. I know that to a certain degree you were each on a committee. You may or may not know what happened in the other committees. It seemed to me, if I'm going to go out and put another building up at my farm, or I want to do something as far as a business plan, I get a little bit of science and a little bit of facts. I write them all down on a piece of paper, and then I come up with a plan. I don't create a plan and then say, wonder if there's any scientific basis to this. Let's release the plan and let a month or two go by, and then see if we can't create some science to back it up. Point number two. You reference in the master plan document that this is a new and innovative approach to planning. I think if you take a look at what happened in the Adirondack Parks Association, with the APA, the Adirondack Parks Association, in New York, which is 3.5 million acres, that started back in 1988 or 89, and got a full head of steam up in the early 60s, was passed into law in the mid 70s. This thing is identical, step by step, up to and including they put forth their plan before Christmas and let people review it over Christmas and the New Year holiday, knowing that they wouldn't have much time to review it. Same thing happened here. Step by step, there is identical to here. This is not new, it's not innovative. It copies the APA, it copies the Shenandoah Valley, it copies what's happening out west. Another point, state of the state, governor was, and briefly Mr. Montgomery was down here today, listening to the state of the state. Well, you ought to have gathered from that that the state's broke. We have a serious financial problem. Roughly $10 to $12 billion billion worth of our landowners' equity is gone now, thanks to the Highlands Act and the lack of compensation. Therefore, I would suggest that you guys might want to think about, and the governor ought to think about, looking at what's going to happen. A lot of the folks here are old. A lot of the folks here are going to die soon. The state collects a lot of money from an inheritance tax. This guy here had a $3 million asset. He dies. State gets X amount of dollars. You take away 90%. You take away 90% of their value. The state is losing a heck of a lot of money, and still none of us have been paid. You have third world countries, Costa Rica, Ecuador. These people are paying dividends to the people that own land. These are third world countries that can't afford to feed most of their people. Most of the people live in shacks. They live in cardboard boxes or little pieces of tin. That's how the people live, most of them. They're paying the people, the landowners, a certain amount, $7, $8, $10 an acre, to keep their land in open forest. And there's probably some international work going in to help fund that. But they're collecting a dividend per acre to keep their land in open space. I have yet to see. Mr. Kittle had 5 minutes.
I'm just telling you it's three. Okay. I'm not stopping you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll do that.
Two more points.
I'll do that. Okay.
I know where I am in 2 minutes. My point is that third world countries can pay the people who own the forested land and the rainforest. I would think New Jersey, in the United States, supposedly one of the richest countries in the world, ought to be able to pay something. My last point, tourism in that section of your master plan itself is touted as the salvation to all of our economic woes. You say that we're going to bring in all this extra added tourism and we're going to have all this additional revenue, yet where are the tourists supposed to stay? Because we're not allowed to build any places for them to stay. Where are they supposed to shop? Because we can't build a place for them to shop.
They could stay in Parsippany, they could tell us.
Plenty, we welcome you there.
Thank you for your uplifting comments, Mr. Mayor. Michael Henderson.
Thank you. Michael Henderson from Bedminster Township. I'm looking forward to that tour, of course, for my son. First of all, I want to thank you for the enormous amount of hard work and courage you've all had in putting out the plan that you've got. It ain't perfect by any means, but it's certainly a very good start, and I'd like to be congratulated for that. But first of all, I want to encourage you to grab hold of the regulatory powers that have been given to you in the plan. You have been shy to date, but keep going. There's a lot of power there that's been handed to you. And for the purpose of protecting something that we all need water. And other than the 800,000 people who live in the Highlands, the 5 million or so others who live outside of this area also need that water. But the Act also charges you with protecting cultural resources, and I did want to spend some time speaking to them. I know it's not been a focus of everyone's attention, but it needs to be there. Clearly, they're clearly part, they're clearly protected in the Act, and they're clearly cultural resources and natural resources are intertwined, and they're in many respects inseparable. Without the technical reports in the plan, it's very hard for us to, you know, to sort of give you a, it's hard to respond to how we like the plan when it's not all there. The devil, in some respects, is in the details. So we certainly urge you to keep the technical reports coming. Along with that, on the cultural resource side, the inventory of resources, we just don't know what's out there. And that is a lengthy and ongoing and professional piece of work that needs to be done. What is the character of the Highlands? How do we know that we're protecting significant things? What is significant? Those are questions that have been touched on, but they really need to be fleshed out, and they need to be fleshed out in the final plan. And along those lines, in looking at in outgoing TDRs, I have a concern about where will the protections be for cultural resources in the outgoing TDR areas, either whether they're in the community development zones or whether they're outside altogether. But the crush of outgoing TDRs could put an enormous pressure on existing historic resources in settled areas. And I would like to make sure that your plan speaks to that so that they're that these outgoing pressures of development aren't just causing some other enormous amounts of problems in other areas. But fundamentally, that's what I want to say.
Good, thank you. Thanks. William Griffin? William Griffin here?
My name is William Griffin. I'm a member of the New Jersey State Board of Agriculture. The Highlands Draft Regional Master Plan has set forth a very aggressive framework for protecting important natural resources of the Highlands region. And while a great deal of work has gone into the development of this draft plan, it is clear much more work and public discussion remains ahead before critical details of policy strategies and standards outlined in the draft plan can be implemented. The agricultural community must be represented and fully engaged in developing these details. We fully understand and support the need to protect our water supply. However, as we protect this valuable resource and other natural agricultural and cultural resources in our Highlands communities, we must do it in a settlement way that is fair and equitable to the people who live and work in the Highlands, including our farm families and woodland owners. After all, farm families and woodland owners have been the responsible stewards of the open lands that you wish to preserve now. Agriculture is a dynamic and changing, yet fragile business that is impacted by many variables, including land values. The Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act, the accompanying DEP Highlands rules and a recently released draft regional master plan, have had a negative effect on the value of lands in the Highlands regions. A significant amount of property held in the Highlands regions is owned by farmers and woodland owners. The value of farmland and woodland directly relates to farmers' ability to maintain their network and secure the most reasonable operating runs in order to remain productive and valuable. The Highlands region provides drinking water to more than 5 million people in the state of New Jersey. It is therefore unreasonable to expect the burden of preserving this water supply should be shouldered only by a small percentage of those who benefit from it. The plan must adhere to the intent and all the provisions of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act to be sustainable and economically viable. We believe that this plan will only be successful if three things happen. First, a dedicated source of funding separate and apart from Garden State Preservation Trust 2 is identified for land and easement acquisition in the Highlands to permanently protect these lands while compensating property owners. Two, a viable private sector driven TDR program is created and implemented that aids in preserving important resources while promoting growth in appropriate areas. The voluntary nature of the proposed program continues to cause us great concern. Funding is provided, number three, funding is provided for conservation planning to implement soil water and natural resource conservation practices on our agricultural lands to ensure continued stewardship of these resources for the future. Finally, we need to always remember that this plan affects real people, farmers, families, small business operators who make a living in this region, as well as others who have lived here for generations. Serious consideration must be given to the delicate nature of these businesses and the anxiety of families who are wondering how they will be able to afford college tuition, health care coverage, and retirement and life decisions that are made by the Highlands Council. The agricultural community is committed to working together with you to develop a regional master plan that is fair, responsible, and one that considers the very interests of all those affected. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mike Horan. Mike Horan. Okay. Yes, here it comes.
I'm guessing that's Mike Herson.
It's okay. How'd you like to be Mike Horan? I'm sorry.
You know, Herson's a tough name. I appreciate it. I'm Mike Herson. I'm the co-chair of the North Jersey Groupies Theater Club and the Highlands Issues Coordinator. I'd like to talk about one specific area about the plan, and that is some of the mapping issues, and specifically no-build zones. No-build zones were identified in the Act as areas which, for environmental sensitivity, should not be built upon, and were mandated to be identified in the RMP, and in my review of the RMP, I did not see them there. No-build zones are very important because you want to be as clear as possible to people that, you know, this is an area that you can't build on, and it's you want to avoid false expectations. And for that reason, I want to also talk about the purple areas. One of the earlier speakers, Russ Krishnan, mentioned that there were a lot of wetlands in the purple areas identified for growth on the map. And I have a lot of experience with this, having been involved with the meadowlands. Wetlands are not really appropriate for growth and development, yet by designating them as purple, you do set up false expectations. That is something that every Bergen County Planning Board deals with, because almost every development application comes through and says, the state plan has designated this town as PA1, Planning Area 1, designated for growth, therefore you must build in the wetlands, or et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, that's really not good policy. And there's also steep slopes in those purple areas. And I guess you call them Purple Mountain Majesty, I don't know. But really, the purple areas need to be addressed. Now I'd like to turn my attention to the hearing schedules. A lot of effort went into this process by the council, and I thank you for all your time and effort, and by the staff. But because of all the time crunch and time pressure you were under, there's been a total lack of educational outreach to a lot of the people that are affected by this plan. And by those people, I don't mean just the 88 towns that are in the Highlands region. There are 188 towns that get their water from the Highlands that are not in the Highlands region. That's almost half the population of the state of New Jersey that gets water from the Highlands that is not in the Highlands region. And those people do not know that this process is going on. Your future hearings are set up in Hunterdon and Warren and throughout the Highlands region, But there's a lack of attention. Someone's mentioned Newark. I would suggest Newark. I would suggest Jersey City. I would suggest Hoboken. Right now, there's probably only one person in Hoboken that knows that this is going on, and he's our governor. But the rest of the people do not know that this is going on. And unless those people are informed and they know then that their work is at stake in the future of the economic growth and prosperity of the entire, of half the state of New Jersey, is tied into the water supply. Unless those people know about this, you're only going to get a lopsided presentation from your hearings. People who, you know, have a direct, who recognize that they have a direct stake, have, you know, they're better informed than people who, you know, they don't realize. They take things for granted. They take their word for granted. And we really shouldn't take our word for granted. That's why this is so important, and that's why I applaud your efforts to protect the water, but you need to go a little bit further with your identify no-build zones, protect those wetlands, and also inform the public that, please.
Thank you very much. If you have an opportunity to talk to that resident of Hoboken, we could use some more money.
To get
done what you're talking about, I'm not trying to respond here, but I'm just...
Speaking on behalf of the Sierra Club, of course we support the Garden State Preservation Trust and reauthorization of that and funding for that, and that is so important to the future of our state, and that's something that... I said at a prior Highlands Council meeting that, you know, I'm totally in agreement that we need funding, but I would love to get the chance to talk to that Hoboken fellow when I,
okay, thanks, Mike.
When it comes along. Thanks.
Michael Natale. Michael Natale.
Hello again.
I haven't seen you before.
Oh, you haven't seen me before? Well, some of the other members sitting next to me have.
Okay.
My introduction to you.
Hello again.
I am a custom home builder. I'm up in Sussex County, New Jersey. Presently, we are stuck with 112 acres. Like I said earlier, I noticed that some people, a lot of people are one way over here. Either they're for saving it, land and omens for the builders saying, or the landowners saying, reimburse us. I'm trying to be on, really on both sides over here. You know, and quite honestly, when they say, save the Highlands with the plan, I wanted to add on, save the Highlands with the plan to reimburse anyone who's been lost on our financial equity. And also, I know I tried asking for a sticker from a woman on make the plan strong. Ma'am, this one's to you. I don't bite. I'm just here to make a point. And the point is, make the plan strong to reimburse all that I've lost. I've noticed that the people who, a lot of people who are for the Highlands Plan, and don't get me wrong, I'm trying to say, trying to be reasonable as possible, because I have worked and lived here all my life. It's not as if I work here and I go off to some foreign area that doesn't affect the Highlands. Or the Highlands has affected, you know. I value open space. I value clean water. Because I plan to stay on here until eternity. Hopefully, God willing. Not that something chases me out, such as like what happened with one of my top-notch employees, who was a one heck of a great guy and irreplaceable. He moved down to North Carolina. He said the heck with the state. I couldn't fault him for that. Well, meanwhile, for the past 3 years, I've been sitting in limbo with 112 acres, all right? And I don't see McGreevy coming along and saying, or any of his poker cronies saying, let me help you. No, he signs the bill, and 2 days later, he runs out the door admitting what he had done, and he's history with God knows who he's with. Anyways, I'm not here to make fun of him. Corzine comes into office. Do I ever hear about him trying to help out the landowners who have lost so much? I've heard people speaking about how much land that they own. Some own 10 acres. Well, that 10 acres to them, it's like my 112 acres is to me. You know? And as far as like, you know, Mr. Klump, only 150 acres, that farmer who was up here a while ago. I felt for him, because I'm in that same type of situation, different line of work, but I own an awful lot of land, and so far I have not seen the government saying, hey, let's really help you out. Yes, I did get some kind words from a member of Sierra Club, Mike Hornstein, or if I said his name correctly, I hope I did. He was just up here speaking. And just like Mr. DePiro from the Highlands Council pulled me aside saying, you know, we can try to work with you. It feels that easy, I would have been on that track already. But apparently it hasn't been. So for the past 3 years, I've been working off of nothing but bank loans after bank loan. And all the profit that my company makes goes right back to pay the interest. I feel like I'm some kind of damn hamster on a wheel, or a gerbil, whatever you want to call it. Just spinning, 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 and not making any progress. You know what? I'm tired of it. Because every home that I build, sitting on 5-acre minimum lots, I'm not into cluster homes, condos, 200 units sitting on 10 acres or eminent domain. I don't believe in any of that. Just about done. But the thing is, meanwhile, this law got railroaded through fast, so fast, behind closed doors. The only way how I found out about it was through word of mouth. You know, back then, not enough people knew about it. A lot more people are aware of it nowadays. All I'm saying is, I am for open space and clean water. I intend to look at it for the rest of my life. But don't destroy my family business. The 40 years that I've been putting into it, and all it is one huge economic downward spiral. I don't feel the playing that game anymore. It's disgusting. The politicians who pass this law, not one of them, I don't see them sweating a bullet, because they go off into their mansions, drive their fancy cars, and got their wallets nice and fat. Well, that's not me. I'm into an honest, hard working living. That's what I want. Just reimburse me, let me move on from my dollar value that I've lost on it. That's all.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
Blair Wilson.
Good evening. My name is Blair Wilson. I'm the Executive Director of Mars Habitat for Humanity. My organization builds affordable homes in partnership with low-income families for homeownership. And my comments are brief. I would like to urge the Council to require towns to petition COA for substantive certification as a prerequisite for conformance with the Regional Master Plan, as it supports good planning practices already underway in many Highlands municipalities.
Thank you, Blair. Okay. Douglas Williams, do I have that right? Good evening.
Good evening. It was Leah Flanders. I'm not sure how much we all used on 120 acres of Flanders, but the state's got most of it. I just can't see with the Water Act where all this water's coming from. You're taking people and putting them in cluster zoning in certain areas and planning areas, and they're not going to be able to drill wells. They're going to have to get public water. This plan has, as far as I've seen, very little or nothing about reservoirs, wells, or the infrastructure to plan these communities that you're trying to throw all these people into. And plus the fact that you're not paying anybody on our end their own property for 100 years or better, even 10 cents. And yet you're going to throw billions of dollars into these infrastructures, and we receive nothing. That's about all I have to say. Thank you.
Art Lee.
Hi, thank you for giving me a chance to speak. I live in Randall. Randolph, New Jersey. I'm also in the planning area. I have 15 acres of land. Basically, I think the issue comes down to basically is compensation. I don't think there's a person in this room who doesn't want clean air, clean water, and open space. It's an issue is that if people own that property, I believe if you substantially change the zoning, and I work on, I'm on a planning board, vice chairman, is that the people should be compensated. There's a difference between planning and basically taking away the rights of the land. If those are rights are taken away, which maybe they should in the common good, that people should be compensated for it. I think that's what the issue comes down to. I think this is what I have a big problem with to the TDR. You know, I think TDR is analogous to fairy dust or Confederate money. It's not a real currency. I think that we want to have it to feel it's in the best interest that these land is taken. It should be compensated, it should be compensated for cash. The water tax is probably the best way. I work in water purification, I've been in for 30 years. Water in New Jersey is very cheap. People waste water. One of the ways to conserve water would be to put a tax on water. But right now, people don't consider that. And I think that this would be a way that you could, A, conserve water, which is important, would help the cost of infrastructure. Second, would compensate for people whose rights were taken away, which maybe they wouldn't do if it's for public good. But I think even when you heard where people had their rights taken away in here, they would agree with it, they would get compensated for it. But everyone realizes certain things, and all this to eminent domain, that if there's something for public good, it has to occur. But be compensated for it. And be compensated in real currency. And I think there's a lot of skepticism because basically in government, you have one governor who decided to balance the budget by selling Route 80 to the turnpike. Then you had another governor who figured that he'll throw all the money in the stock market, we won't have to pay the pensions for 3 or 4 years. Now we have a governor who's saying he's going to cut property taxes by 20%, but the small print is that's for families earning under $100,000 a year. And for a husband and wife working $100,000 a year is not a lot of money anymore. So I think that really the concern that I think most people have in this room where it almost becomes a sense is we had a real way to pay for the rights you're taking away because no one objects to your process of getting clean water. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Nancy Albano? Nancy Albano here? Jim
Kelsey.
Kelsey? Help me out.
Kelsey.
Oh, okay. It stood up first, I would have known.
Thank you. My name is Jim Kelsey. I'm a member of the Independence Township Planning Board. I have a 4-point question regarding my township and your regional master plan. The Highlands Act puts our township's water and sewer areas into the new build preservation areas. My first question is, what sense does it make to put water and sewer land on one side of the street in the preservation area and water and sewer land on the other side of the street in the planning area? Now, if our township opts into your master plan, which puts our whole township in preservation or conservation zones, you'll take away all of our future commercial office, age-restricted labels, and a watered and sewered area. My second question is, how does this preserve water? My third question is, how do we meet our COA requirements? And my fourth question is, how is this fair to the affected property owners or to our taxpayers? As we lose ratables and tax appeals, how are we to continue to provide essential services without drastically raising taxes and forcing more people out of New Jersey to Pennsylvania? Or is that the point of all this? Is that your goal? A nice lady earlier today gave a brief history of water conservation in New Jersey over the last century. She failed to mention one very important point. Those far-sighted cities paid for the land they purchased build the reservoirs on. I'm sure everybody here wants to conserve our environment. The question is, at whose cost? Your master plan puts the cost squarely on the very people and municipalities who have conserved this environment. If Highlands Water is so critical to the general public, then the general public should be paying for it, and the property owners should receive just compensation for giving up their property rights. An earlier speaker said that too many people take water for granted. Yeah, that's true. But also too many people take liberty for granted. And the fact that property rights are a basic cornerstone of our liberty. The Highlands Act, your master plan, and the DEP regs trample on the Bill of Rights. Over 200 years ago, we fought a revolution to protect our rights, and yes, indeed, our property rights. It seems here in the Highlands, we've come full circle. Again, we've become colonists, second-class citizens to be exploited by the heavily populated Democrat areas of the state without just compensation, and by His Majesty, the State of New Jersey, and its bureaucrats.
Thanks.
Is there anyone who has not signed in who would like an opportunity to speak who has not yet spoken? Speak now.
Or forever.
Okay, thank you very much. Sure, come on up. Yes.
After listening to all these things today, I hear what I can understand is you hear this every meeting. I have no doubt in my mind you're working very hard to find a solution. But what happens is, like I said, and when one person got up here and said we had equity in our land, well, now there is no equity. We've lost the equity in our land. Nobody's going to buy a piece of property that they can't use. And the problem comes out of this is that about the last comment is, I remember when I got out of the service and I took some life courses. And I remember one of our college professors, we just got into a general conversation about different things. And he said at that time, in 1960, at one time, water is going to be more valuable than gold.
Or oil.
Thank you. Another strangler.
Julia Sanders, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. You had said anybody who hadn't spoken before. I spoke this afternoon. I commend my comments to those council members who were not here, not that I'm claiming they were so eloquent, but I hope that they're worth reading. I just wanted to make a couple of points, however. Today, the governor said that he supports renewal of the Garden State Preservation Trust in 2007. The Highlands Coalition and its members and many others have lobbied hard in Trenton to persuade the administration that this is the right thing to do. I hope everybody in this room of every persuasion will support us in trying to get the Garden State Preservation Trust passed at referendum in November. The New Jersey Highlands Coalition absolutely supports a water tax. I know that the council has called for a water tax. Again, I hope everybody lobbies with us for a water tax to support acquisition in the Highlands. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia. I'd just like to make it clear, when we were in Parsippany in March of 2004 at one of the Highlands Council meetings, the entire council agreed that we should have a water user fee. We don't believe in a tax.
I think the concept
of reimbursing for the water that you extract from the Highlands is a fair concept, and I think that the council virtually unanimously, if not unanimously, supports that.
Well, and we will work with you, but again, I hope everybody here will not just give it lip service, but will work to help ensure it happens.
Thank you. Thank you, all of the speakers. Thank you all, opponents, proponents, the neutral ones. Thank you, Mike. Hold on a second. Let me just finish up, and then you can speak when I'm done. And the meeting will be adjourned. I'd just like to say, if you don't get it already, this is hard. This is not an easy task. We have talked about this a long time. I had the, I guess, questionable privilege of being appointed to the Highlands Task Force, along with some of the people who are here this evening, in September of 2003. Seems like 1993. And we've been at this for a very long time. It was very difficult getting the task force report produced in a very constrained time window of 6 months. We did it in 5.5 months. The report was easy. The act also took several months and several public hearings. It was the first public hearing in this community in December of 2003, and over 300 people came to that public hearing. Virtually all of those people were in favor of what the Highlands Act was proposing, which is the protection of our water resources. They, and I believe you, understand the value of what we're trying to do here. But it's not easy, because it does tread on so many areas, and so many people are affected by it. The Highlands Council was caught between a problematic time frame to produce the draft master plan. Listen, as long as they're not behind my head, it's okay. Caught between a problematic time frame to produce the draft master plan and the need to produce the data that would support that master plan, scientific data. We're trying to bring both of those elements together, and that's the hard part. You want to be as accurate and as comprehensive and complete as you can with the data, yet at the same time, you've got to get the plan out the door. So it is not easy. What I've heard this evening is that the details are not clear to many people. They're not clear to some of us. The details are on the ground. They come down to blocks and lots. They come down to pieces of property that individual property owners have owned and want to deal with in some way. I had the privilege of being the first one to testify on the Highlands Act proposal when it came before the Joint Environment Committees of the Assembly and the Senate. And my first words were, and some of you know this, it's all about the money. I opened my remarks by saying it's all about the money. If the legislature can give us the money, this will be a success. If you can't, we're going to have a very tough time. That's still true. None of that has changed. That's what we hear tonight. It's all about money. It's all about compensation. It's all about fairness. And I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't agree with that. Colleagues? Okay. I'm engrossed in the life of Theodore Roosevelt, a very interesting man. Theodore Roosevelt didn't have any science except by his own observation. He was kind of an amateur scientist and a very good one at that. Great naturalist. He hunted, he went out west, he saw what was going on in the wilds, the badlands. When he was president, with the stroke of his pen, he saved millions and millions of acres and created the first national parks in the United States. He didn't ask anybody, is this okay if we do this? He just did it. We're in a different position. We're trying to get your support for this. And by your being here this evening and contributing to this process, and I hope you'll continue to do that in the other future hearings, you're helping us to get the best plan that we can possibly get. We are not going to please everyone, but we are not going to offend everyone either. Our hope is to do something that is fair and just and achieves the goals of the law that we are sworn to uphold. Thank you all for coming. Mike? Just be
late.
See you guys. See you Thursday.
Okay.
I was just going to say, when you proposed the order,
yes, you did. Yes. You know,
I testified for that.
You know, I know we run the property. My wife and I both.